Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice, the legendary voice of the Christian resistance on this 26th day of August 2026. And tonight, for the entire while, our producer is none other than Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor.
And our special guest this week, as she is here about every week, is none other than America's medicine marm, Miss Wendy Wilson.
Oh, good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. You ready to roll tonight, young lady?
I'm ready.
Title of the message was Why the World Hates Israel. Why the World Hates Israel. And we've been going through the scripture, and we started out with the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12, and then we went to Deuteronomy 28. Oh, boy, was there a lot in Deuteronomy chapter 28 about blessings and cursings of Israel. You know, how the, and that's where it really got into how Israel would become a proverb and be despised by the world for her disobedience. And so tonight we're going to pick it up, though, in Numbers chapter 24. And in Numbers chapter 24, now this would be, well, if I was Tucker Carlson or Greg Reese or Candace Owens or Mike Adams or Alex Jones or a whole bunch of others out there, I would pay close attention to this, because it talks about those, again, that what happens when to those that try to curse Israel. And do you know what replacement theology is, Wendy?
Well, I've heard you talk about it a lot.
Well, that's when what they're referring to is that they believe that God is finished with the nation of Israel, and he's finished with the Old Testament, and the church has replaced the nation of Israel. But what's wrong with that? What is wrong with that nonsense?
Well, no, he's not done with Israel. I mean, he's still working with her, and that's why, you know, the tribulation is the tribulation. It's to help them, you know, figure it out.
The whole purpose of the tribulation period is the purification of the wife of God, huh? They're referred to Israel. The true nation of Israel is referred to the wife of God. There in Hosea. And so that to purify her.
Now that,
go ahead.
I have a question then. If she's the wife of God, isn't the rapture to take us to the wedding supper of the Lamb of God? So,
well, Well, that's the difference. That's the we're the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ, and but Israel was a special nation that came before the church, and so we go back and we see how Israel became the wife of God all the way back into the days of the Old Testament in Genesis. And so here, the difference between the wife of God and the bride of Christ is the bride of Christ has repented. She's been purified, okay? That's where you're going to have the wedding of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And but the wife of God has not yet repented. And so if you... Maybe I could just jump over there for a little bit here and take a look at that, because that's something that's really applies here to this. And these pages are so thin, and when you get into some of these minor prophets, the books are very small, and I'm getting there.
Yeah, I mean, these pages on the Bible are very delicate. It reminds me of the filters of your kidneys. They're kind of paper thin like that.
Wow, I never looked upon my kidneys looking like that, but that's something to remember. Anyhow, okay, here we go. We're going to go over here to Hosea chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Hosea. The word of the Lord came unto Hosea, the son of Berean, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. In the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go take thee a wife of whoredoms, the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. So the land is Israel that has committed great whoredoms, and he's telling him to go take Hosea to go take Gomer as a wife, and Gomer's a whore. So he went and he took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lurahamah. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will have them by the bow, and by the sword, and by the battle of the horse, nor the horseman. And now she had weaned Lurahamah, and conceived and bare a son. And then said God, call his name Lo am I, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Well, this is how he starts out, okay? But here he's referred to the nation of Israel as the wife of God. So he sends Hosea out. He goes, he takes Gomer, and Gomer's a whore. So she's going out to all these other men and sleeping with them. But God tells Hosea, because Hosea goes to these men and said, listen, when you're finished sleeping with her, don't pay her now, because they knew if they paid her, if they disobeyed him, he could have had them stoned. So they listened to her. So she went to one man, didn't get paid, went to another, didn't get paid, went to another, didn't get paid. So finally she comes back. The whole picture here, it's a picture of with Hosea and his wife Gomer. Gomer is Israel, and here are the pictures of God and the nation of Israel and being the wife of God. And so he brings her to repentance, then he purifies her. The purification period takes place during the tribulation period. But until then, she's gone a whoring with all these other nations. And so it's still happening today. She's still doing it. Now, there are a lot of people out there that say, well, God really doesn't have a grip on things. He wasn't really able to do what is here in the Bible. This is the God's Word, the Bible, the King James Bible is what he gives us. This is more than a letter, it's our instruction manual. And there are those out there saying, well, God really wasn't able to do all that. Today, what is supposed to be Israel is really not Israel. They've got all these other people there. They refer to them by all these different names. And those people over there in Israel are not really in that land of Israel. But here we have, and the Bible tells you very clearly, it marks out the lands, and not only where Israel is today, but also parts of Egypt, parts of Saudi, goes into Iran, a lot, and all of this in Syria, where the promised land that God gives the nation of Israel. So the actual land is much, much, much bigger than that little bitty land out there, okay? So that's what he's telling him. He's using that for an example. And then when he, then you see Hosea, when Gomer repents and she gets restored, and then, and that's the nation of Israel. Not Judah. So, but we're going to pick it up here tonight. And you've heard of Balaam, the son of Beor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here now, we're going to pick it up in Numbers chapter 24, verse 8. Now God brought him forth out of Egypt, and he hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn, and he shall eat up the notions. He shall eat up the nations and shall bring their bones in pieces, and then through his arrows. And he laid down as a lion, and a great lion who shall stir him up. Blessed is he that blesses thee, and cursed is he that curses thee. And so, obviously, that's referring to the Lord. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. You see, because that wasn't what Balak paid Balaam to say. Balak, the king, paid him to curse Israel and not talk about his Messiah, okay? And so here now, he goes on, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse thine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. So now, Balak don't know what to do. Because, see, he's caught between a rock and a hard spot in this situation, because if Balaam is really a true prophet of God, then, and now he's been prophesying. See, God has not allowed Balaam. When Balaam would open his mouth to curse Israel, God would turn it around, and Balaam couldn't do anything about it. And so here, he don't know what to do, because if he goes ahead and kills Balaam, why then you're fooling with God's prophets, right?
Yeah.
So there he goes, and he says, therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto a great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to the messengers when thou sentest me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord. So do either good or bad, or mine own mind, but what the Lord saith, that I will speak. So if you jump ahead a little bit, he goes in here. So finally Balaam comes up with an idea, because Balaam was getting a little concerned about Balak's patience. So he comes up with this idea. He says, look, He said, God's not going to let me curse Israel, but if you, your women are loose women, the Moabites and the Midianitish women, especially that one called Cosby, they're loose women. And you know how easy it is for these women to seduce these men. So you send them in to seduce the men of Israel, and then God himself will curse them. And so.
Well, there you go. That's violence by proxy.
Yeah. But you know, the thing of it is even the strongest men out there, and we see all through the Bible, can be seduced by a woman. And so this is what Satan used so often through Scripture. And so here he goes, and he says here, let me jump ahead just a little bit to 25. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. So not only were they committing sexual sins, they were worshiping, they got them to worship their other gods. And this is where Solomon got into a lot of trouble. And so Israel joined himself into Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay you every one his men that were joined in with Baal-peor. In other words, whoever were worshiping and went with these Moabitess women. And Moses, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto him a brother, a Midianite woman, in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They were crying because God was about to bring some very, very harsh judgment on him. God was going to bring a plague and was going to wipe out the vast majority of them. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up among the congregation. He took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel and into the tent, and thrust them, both of them, through the man of Israel and into the woman and through her belly, so that the plague was stayed and the children of from the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. And so those that was stayed, they was caught early. We're talking about he was going to take out 1 million, okay? And so, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath from among the children of Israel. Well, he was zealous for my sake among them, and I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore, say, behold, I give unto him the covenant, my covenant of peace. So I'm going to stop right there. So here, what happened, you saw, and by the way, both Balaam and Balak, you know, they had the things. Things did not end well for those two at all. Both of them died a pretty bad death. And so,
well, anyhow, you have to admit, a covenant of peace is a nice gift, isn't it?
Well, you're not kidding about that. And so, with that, I want to go over to Psalms 83. And in the Psalms 83, verses 1 through 5. And so, here's what we read. Psalms 83, verses 1 through 5. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and say that they hate thee, and have lifted up thy head. They have taken crafty counsel against the people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent, and they are a confederate against thee. And so here, in other words, he's saying, this is, things haven't changed. That's exactly what the United Nations wants to do today. If it wasn't for the United States, well, of course, God wasn't going to let that happen. But they would have totally, I mean, if they could, the United Nations this very day would totally destroy the nation of Israel. They would look the other way while all of Israel's nations would come after. But, see, the problem with that, remember the War of 67? I remember it very, very good. Boy, if you hadn't seen these people who think, well, that's not true Israel over there, and those aren't the true Jews. If you hadn't seen God's hand in that war of 67, then you have never seen anything, okay? They were totally surrounded, Israel, and God sent the nations delusions. He sent them delusions where Israel's small army was able to turn the battle totally against the Egyptians and all of her, the other enemies surrounding her there. It was an amazing thing. It was a miraculous way that war ended. Do you remember that, Wendy?
I was born in 61. So,
you don't remember it then, yeah.
Yeah, but I do remember some stories. I hope I don't have mixed up with anything, but I remember there was an account where a small platoon of Israel had to cross this land. I guess they were being chased by the enemy, or they had to get in position, one or the other. And a great storm came up, and it kind of blew a lot of sand and stuff. So they had to just kind of hunker down until the storm passed.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, when the storm passed, they realized that the land they were just about to enter and walk through had a bunch of landmines in it, and the storm revealed where they were.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was a part of that happened. But anyhow, just as Egypt was ready to, they had the Israelis' army surrounded, there was a doubt and fear was placed into them. A real strong doubt and fear, and it made them stop. Meanwhile, it gave Israel time to regather and turn the tables on them. I mean, just miraculous. So many miraculous things happened during that. We have a documentary. I remember I was serving overseas when that happened, and I remember all of the guys, we were talking about that, how God's had his hand on this one. God's hand on this one. So anyhow, that's what's going on. But today, Israel still, you have the seed of Abraham, and you have the sons of Abraham. The seed of Abraham is all Judaism, all Jewry. The sons of Abraham are those that are going to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and are going to get saved. It's about one-third of all of Israel and out there today. And so the one-third today, when you go there, there's like two extremes in Israel. They have their secular. They have their Democrats. Israel has their Democrats. They're communist. They're anti-God, anti-government. Believe it or not, they're anti-Israel. Just like the Democrats here in America are anti-America.
Right.
And they'll always take sides with our enemies over us. And so today, like I said, as bad as America is, but per size, per population, Israel is even worse where it comes to sin. Today, she's still sin. Abortion, murdering children. We talked about how God brought the very harshest punishment on any people. He brought it on Israel. He reduced them to cannibalism and made them eat their own children and each other because of their evil and their wickedness. And then they have, where it comes to, they've had the world's largest sodomite parades. You talk about shaking a rebellious fist in the face of a holy God. Guess where? Right there at the Dead Sea, right where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And they, do you know what they called their big sodomite parade?
No.
They called it the burning, the burning. And then
Why?
They had, then they had another one in Tel Aviv. And they have the highest rate of prostitution, the highest rate of prostitution. Hang tight, we'll be back right after this.
I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Family again, gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you. Gaining treasures, preaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This world is not for by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see my mansion on high through glorified eyes. How happy I'll be.
By you. Boy, if you're going to get blessed, boy, it's really good to get blessed by God. Hey, Wendy, has my voice changed since I made that song? I made that song a long time ago. What do you think?
I mean, I guess everybody's singing voice is kind of different than their everyday talking voice, you know? So you sound a little higher pitch in the song, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah. I guess as I get older, I get lower, huh?
I don't know. I mean, That's singing, though. Some people, they just normally have a higher pitch when they sing.
I used to kind of move it up and down a little bit, depending on which song I sing. You know, when I did my Johnny Cash imitations, I went way down low. I hear that train a-coming now. It's coming round the bend. That train's called Judgment, and it's here because of sin. Yep, that one. So I did my Johnny. I had Noah Hutchins when I played first my song, Burning Lake of Fire. He started telling me, he said, Johnny and I are good friends. And I said, well, that's really not Johnny. That's actually me. Oh, no. He said, I know Johnny Cash. He said, that's Johnny. I said, no, I'm for sure. I'm not telling you that. That's me. I made that song. And he still thought I was kidding. So I sent him a CD. He called me up and said, send me 100 of those. So we did. And, it was good. I miss that fellow. He was one of my heroes. Noah Hutch was one of my heroes. Did you know
he had a good show, didn't he? A good preacher show.
Yeah. Well, Southwest Radio. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma, he was out there in Oklahoma. He was smuggling Bibles. He was a World War II hero. He was smuggling Bibles into China, and they caught him. And boy, I'm going to tell you, back then, you didn't walk away. You didn't live. But God intervened upon him and got him to turn him loose, and they set him free, and he came back. But boy, I'm going to tell you, that was something. That was amazing. That was a miracle. It was a miracle.
How old was he when he passed away?
92.
Wow.
He was 92 when he passed away. He was on the radio for 62 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Southwest Radio. Yeah, I used to. I spoke at a number of his conferences. We would have he'd all over the country. And John McTurnan spoke at his conferences. And I think that may be where McTurnan and I met for the first time. I thought it was on the steps of the Supreme Court in D.C., though, out there. There was a guy up there, and somehow, for some reason, in my mind, I thought that was McTurnan, but he said it wasn't. That was preaching, and I remember there was a bunch of communists booing him. So I got up there and started preaching with him. Just wanted the attention, I guess. But anyhow, yeah, we did a lot for them. When Obama was in, they said that if we came out there and we prayed, we weren't allowed to pray in the name of Jesus, remember, at the Supreme Court? And we did. We went up there. Wiley Drake's. We had two groups. I brought a group, and Wiley Drake brought a group, and I had a bunch of pastors with me. And we went there, and we split it up at the Capitol up there, one on one side, one on the other. We were preaching, and it was really interesting. They just sat there and stared at us for a long time, and then they sent this young woman who was a rookie. They sent her down to deal with us. And you could tell she had no idea what to do, but we were easy on her. And then we went over to the Vietnam Wall, and we went over there and we prayed over there. And when we went, then they sent Mounties, Rangers on horses, and as we finished before they got there, and we were walking towards the Korean Memorial, and these guys come flying by us on the horses looking for us. We walked right by them. Then we went over to the Korean Memorial, and we had a big prayer meeting over there with a bunch of people. Anyhow, I better let you. You always have something important to say. So tell us what's going on.
Well, have you heard about the walking test determining the risk of dementia?
No, I haven't heard that. I know they've given me a walking test there at the VA, but no, I haven't heard that.
Okay. So this is another assessment test that scientific medicine is using to determine mental health and to weed out maybe those who can't do, let's say, 40 steps a minute from possibly qualifying for an organ transplant. And And they've been doing that. People that, you know, do the walking test that are on the list for organ transplants, if they don't pass that walking test, they don't get the transplant.
Wow, so I never heard of that. Wow.
Yeah, science says that the way you walk, your gait, and how fast that you move without falling is how they are basing the first sign of lingering dementia. So being too sedentary can increase your risk of dementia, science says, and our seniors should be doing strength training exercises entailing 150 minutes a week of exercise to lower the mental health risk. Here's a quote from the Journal of Neurology, July 2026. They say older adults who maintain a brisk, natural walking pace into their 80s and beyond may be protecting their brains, end of quote. So they want people to get into this exercise routine and walking and be what they call a super mover. So the older adults who move daily, making themselves get up and exercise 2 or 3 hours a week and walk instead of being in a chair most of the day, are said to have sharper memory. So those who do are called the super movers, and they tend to outpace their peers 93% of the time. So which means the majority are not moving and are, you know, gaining weight and adding multiple diseases to their mental, their medical record, you know, multi-morbidity, and taking a lot of prescription meds as well. So according to Harvard Health, they said this in July of this year, the analysis yielded striking results. Compared with their slower walking peers, the super movers were about 50% less likely to develop cognitive impairment over their follow-up periods ranging from 3.4 to 5.4 years, and 60% less likely to report a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or other dementia. Their memory and their thinking skills are also going to decline more slowly over time, as measured by memory recall processing speed and mental flexibility tests. So walking, they see this link, this correlation between, you know, being active and walking keeps the cells, the circulatory cells of the brain better, and which helps you, you know, have a sharper mind. So in other words, physical vitality is connected to cognitive vitality as you age. Now there's an annual exam, and your doctors may be recommending you come in for an annual physical, and you are maybe over the age of 60. And chances are a walking test is being added to that. So a walking speed test is supposedly revealing the early signs of dementia, even if you are not showing any current signs of cognitive decline, such as memory loss or trouble doing math. So they will need, though, a baseline on your walking speed, and they will start to record it prior to your 65th birthday. So here's a quote from, this is Michigan State University Healthcare. They said, dementia screening tests will include a portion on a person's walking speed, as they found in those over 65 will walk 5% slower each year. So they need a baseline to monitor you. So science equals slower walking. It represents a slower mind to them, a slower speed, and where the most likely folks are going to develop dementia, that category. So people's, the patients, you know, drop in a walking speed, and if it decreases, it's going to affect their cognitive ability. Science calls this dual decliners. So if you've got, you know, slower speed and your mental clarity is going, it's called dual declining. So dual declining had a higher risk of dementia than those with either gait or cognitive decline alone. And slower walking speed is an important metric, they say, overall health. And overall health predicts brain health. So whatever the reason is for a person walking slower, it almost always implies a decline in overall wellness, and it's coming. So we're going to have to pee like Top Gun. We have the need for speed faster, even if it's our walking speed. So according to the medical research, the average person walks a speed of about 3 miles per hour. However, your health professionals are asking the elderly to pick up the pace a little bit to 3.5 to 4 miles per hour. So if you're under this benchmark, the research suggests that you are not benefiting from your walking. According to Michigan State, when you when your walking speed is slow, this can be a predictor of things like dementia up to 7 years in advance of the symptoms. So if your walking speed is changing, they're saying within 7 years you're probably going to have memory issues. To measure your walking speed another way, you can count your steps per minute, which should be 135 to 140 per minute. And this would be a brisk 30-minute walk. And this is about 1.7 to 2.1-mile walk. So if you can't do it outside, you know, it's too hot or too cold, the weather is an issue, find a shopping mall and walk around the mall. Now, have you heard about the software that is going to probably be included in all this healthcare stuff? Have you heard about it?
No.
Okay. So if you are not aware, these medical tests are profiling a patient's societal value. Now, you're familiar with China's social score, and it does much the same thing, but their data systems link, and they produce an overall score. According to Social Value International, they said this framework monitors and ranks citizens and businesses based on legal compliance, financial reliability, and social behavior. Local and national digital platforms aggregate government records, court judgments, and commercial data to restrict or reward access to public services, travel, and loans. So that's happening right now in China. And most of Europe has a software system also underway. America is moving towards that framework with several independent systems not yet merged for a centralized government social credit score system. So the financial sector uses a lot of automated software, risk models. They want to determine personal data, transaction history, digital footprints, evaluation of a person's reliability, you know, if you're going to pay back a loan they give you. So if you want a loan or a job at a bank, you're going to be profiled. And most large employment businesses now, they use personality assessment tests before they hire you. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I haven't put an application in for many
years. Looking for a job lately. Well, it's not just law enforcement that is using that. Getting a job at a grocery store or any place that has customer service is going to vet you through a personality test. So if you have any social media footprint, this will also be used and looked up to determine risk assessment and is often used by insurance companies. And a lot of people aren't a fan of social score profiling and all this stuff. However, not all Americans are in agreement with this stuff, and according to assessment experts, social score profiling offers some concerns. In other words, it can lack transparency, it hides built-in bias, and can unfairly lock people out of, let's say, housing, loans, getting insurance, or getting a job. And some states have passed laws banning or restricting these types of behavioral social scoring methods. In the private sector, used by banks and corporations, the states that are pushing back a bit are Florida, Tennessee, Ohio, Utah, and Arkansas. But you know who else is used in social scoring, Pastor?
Who?
It's your healthcare system.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So your healthcare system is using profiling and social scores to determine who they're going to treat. Here's a quote from the National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology, August of this year. They said the healthcare system places social value on a person by determining who receives priority, resources, and empathetic treatment based on their economic status, insurance coverage, and social standing. So no one likes to think that their healthcare system is using metrics like this to evaluate them to see if they are worth treating. However, it is a factor, and in reality, patients are given a social score by your healthcare system. Here is another quote from the National Library of Medicine. They say, marginalized groups frequently experience biased pain management, delayed diagnosis, and often lower access to advanced therapies. They continue, during critical shortages, institutional guidelines or implicit bias can influence who receives life-saving intervention, intensive care beds, or organ transplants. And lastly, they say societal and economic frameworks sometimes prioritize keeping a healthy workforce active, implicitly valuing working age or economic productive individuals over the elderly or the disabled. Do you remember that movie, I, Robot, with Will Smith?
Yeah, yeah.
So that came out, what, 20 years ago at least, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, and in it was basically, you know, a society that had these robots, and these robots were kind of running amok and going rogue, and Will Smith was a police officer. But in the beginning of the movie, he would always have these bad dream flashbacks because he was in a car accident. His vehicle went off the bridge, and another vehicle with him who had a child, a little girl in it, maybe a 10-year-old girl, and he could see her through the glass as both their cars were sinking in the river. And the robots were jumping off the bridge to save them, but there was only one robot that could get to them, and the robot had to make an analysis decision. Do I save the police officer, the 30-year-old, or do I save the 10-year-old female? So he saved the police officer. See? So you got AI is going to be making these decisions, I'm pretty sure of it. So therefore, whether you are walking slower, unemployed, uninsured, or a variety of social metrics, it can determine if you receive health care treatment. So this is a punitive action executed upon those in society that are vulnerable and less fortunate, elderly, or have no social media footprint at all. So this demonstrates, as if we needed another example, that health care today is not focused on preserving life. So self-preservation is a common pastor.
I've got to say, the VA, I don't get that opinion at all from the VA. Since Trump's been back in office, there's been a huge, huge difference. And if you talk to all the old vets, they can't believe it. The VA, their work has gone up 100%.
I've heard that from you and some others that are veterans. You know, it was really good during Trump's first term. It got sucky again. It got really bad during Biden, and now it's better again with Trump. So, I'm sure the leader of the nation has an impact on that.
Well, yeah, the morale was much different under both Biden and Obama. And I remember Obama had all the crosses and all the Bibles and the tracts taken out of all the chapels in all of the VAs. And I know up here we went and put a bunch of New Testaments back into them. But,
We live in a time where the individual needs to prepare to look after yourself and not expect medical science to come rescue you is here. Now, I'm not saying don't use medical science. Use it when necessary, but you should prepare to need it less than expected. For as much as I have been saying that, become educated using your medicinal plants. It could make the difference of life and death for you, literally. So now is the time to educate yourself, become familiar with what you can have on hand in an emergency. And we can help you out. We have a free catalog you can order, or you can give us a call. We have customer support, so 866-229-3663. Some of you have called me and said, I didn't hear your phone number the first time. So 866-229-3663. You can visit us online at thepowerherbs.com or thepowerherbs.com. And take advantage of the Labor Day sales, 25% off on orders of $75 or more. We lowered that threshold a little bit today, Pastor.
Yeah, I noticed it was 100 before.
Right.
Do you know what, though? Have you ever noticed if you go into McDonald's or some of the fast foods, they have a bunch of retired people working there?
I'm aware of that. I haven't been in fast food in a long, long time because I, you know, can't eat any of that stuff. But, yeah, I know what you mean. They're in there. They're in Target. They're in Walmart. You see them up on a lot of social media, YouTube channels, little shorts, they call them shorts, where there's like 80-year-old women in the break room at Walmart taking a break, and they have to keep working because they don't have enough retirement.
I know. But you know what? I'm thinking of just going to New York because and getting a job at McDonald's because Moron Domandy wants to, they're planning on making a minimum wage in New York of $30 an hour. The minimum wage. Do you know what that's going to do to its for its restaurants?
Well, that guy's bent on really fast-tracking the destruction of that state.
That's $240 a day, and think about that. And so how much of that is a week? That's pretty good living there, for especially for a single
person. Yeah, a month, they would be getting $4,800 before taxes each month for working at fast food. Yeah. I in high school and college working at fast food, and it was like $2.50 an hour.
Yeah, I know. It was a whole lot less. All right. And when I was young, it was even a lot less than that. But I think a minimum wage was under $2 an hour. So, anyhow, we're coming up to a break. All right, the Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. We'll get one of your dynamite catalogs there, Wendy. They're really good. And so,
well, thank you, Pastor. Always great to be with you and your listeners. I hear from them a lot. They love your show. I do, too.
Well, and we all love you. You're our medicine marm. Your newsletter is really great, and your medicines are good. I've been taking them for years and years, and they work. And I don't take any statins and all of those things that people try to get you on. I just use natural herbs, and I don't have any of those side effects.
Yeah, I know. It's just a lot of the elderly are on, you know, four more medications. They call it polypharmacy because they're on stuff they don't need to be on typically in a lot of cases. So it's, you know, a lot of times these medicines make them unsteady on their feet, and this is when they fall and break hips and stuff. And you always check your medicines. I mean, if you've got memory issues, it could be a drug-induced situation.
Yeah, I know that I often when I go in, and they always ask you over again about your medications. When I tell them I don't take any, they look at me like I'm a Martian or something. You don't take any medications? No. And
I know. I get the same thing. I don't really see doctors unless I have a trauma issue, and you know, they take my blood pressure and you know, it's in normal range, and why would I need a blood pressure med? You know, why do you want to put me on that?
Yeah, I realized I was becoming a senior when going to the doctor. The doctors were asking me for advice, and that happens now. So I made it, I guess, to the end. We're running out of time. I want to thank you again for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, and we'll talk real soon, and God bless all.
God bless you, and thank you so much, Wendy. You're always doing
good. Yeah, I love your preaching, Pastor. Nobody preaches like you, so...
All right.
You know, we got to keep you for a little while longer, okay?
All righty. Well, I'll try to hang in here.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless. All Take right. care now.
Good night, young lady. What a sweetheart she is. She is, and let me tell you, folks, I'm not kidding you about her medicines. They work. I've been taking them for a number of years. But not only that, she'll take the time when you call, even on a busy day, if you have questions, and don't understand certain things about, you know, what combinations you take on these herbs. She'll take as much time as you need to explain everything for you. She really cares about people. She's really a wonderful lady. And she's a lady. Boy, it's so good to be around ladies. That's why I love pastoring the church that I pastored. They're ladies. They're not feminists. All right, we're coming up to that break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. And so, in fact, I'm going to open the phone calls, the phone lines.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next. Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. There's been some strange things happening, folks, where it comes to beef. There's some warnings out there. First, I'm going to open the phone lines, but play it, and I'm going to play a little short clip before I take any calls. But the phone lines are now open coast to coast at 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. If you have a question or a comment, but first we're going to hear a little bit of a clip. So, and this beef thing. So, look, go ahead and take her away, Sile. Looks like we're. I did. Uh-oh. Well, I guess we won't do it. We have a clip, but the clip's not, it's not coming through. It's on. What about just do the 30-second? Do you have a 30-second one there?
It's not coming through the board. Let me try something else real quick.
All righty, go ahead and take your time. Meanwhile, folks, the phone lines are open and Meta. Now Meta settled a lawsuit. Listen to this, for $16.68 billion, and. They were sued by 29 different states in a joint lawsuit. And why? Well, they had their programming was geared to addict children, to get children addicted to their information that they were putting out there. And that is a crime. And so, anyhow... I remember, I mean, you know, 28 billion or 16 billion, that used to be, you know, the entire gross national GNP of a country. And, you know, here, I, a kid growing up, you never heard of the word trillion. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, it wasn't, you know, entire countries had much less GNP than that. Cisco Polino was arrested this morning, in fact, on 11 felony counts tied to the pandemic relief money. They were skimming the money for the taxpayers' money that was coming for the COVID pandemic relief. All righty. Now we're going to go and listen to a little bit about the Well, about this beef situation. Go ahead, take her away.
Earlier this year, China rejected a shipment of Argentinian beef after detecting an antibiotic that's been banned in animal food for decades. Around the same time, the United States quadrupled the amount of beef it imports from Argentina. Those two facts have been circulating together online, and the implication is obvious. America is buying beef that China won't touch. That's the framing, and that framing is doing a lot of work. So let's go through what actually happened, the shipment, the substance, the scale, and what both countries are actually doing. Let's get to it. Here are the facts, and they're narrower than the headlines suggest. On March 19th, 2026, China's General Administration of Customs stopped a 22-ton container of beef from the Ari plant in Perez, Milan. After being notified of this this residue, China also suspended imports from the specific facility. So one container, one plant, not the country, not the industry. That's the entire event, and it matters that you know the boundaries of it before we go anywhere else. And it's worth noting the practical impact was limited. RE Beef operates another plant in the region, so the company kept shipping to China from that facility. So what is this antibiotic, and why does it trigger such a presence, such a reaction? It is a real antibiotic. It's still used in human medicine in certain situations, but it's been prohibited in animals raised for food for a long time. In Argentina specifically, they banned it for cattle for slaughter or just livestock in 1995. And the reason is that it's been linked to a rare but serious blood disorder. And regulators concluded they couldn't establish a level that was safe. And when you can't set a safe threshold, the threshold automatically becomes zero, and that's across the board. And that's the crucial detail. China applies the same zero tolerance to any chemical like this. Any detectable residue at all is enough to reject the whole shipment. That means detected. And that is not the same thing as a dangerous dose. Modern lab equipment can find small quantities of substances. A detection triggers the rule regardless of amount because the rule is written as zero. And I'm not saying that to wave it away. Zero tolerance exists for good reasons. But if you're trying to judge actual risk to a person eating a burger, any detectable amount triggered a regulatory rule. And this meat would have hurt someone are very different claims. Now, put that number in scale, because this is where the online framing breaks down. China's cap on Argentinian beef for 2026 is 511,000 tons. They rejected one 22-ton container. That's roughly 4,000, which was 1% of the annual trade. If you drew it as a bar chart, you would struggle to even see it on the chart. That doesn't make it meaningless. A single positive is exactly what a screening system is supposed to catch. But it does mean this was one flagged container inside an enormous, continuously tested trade flow, not a pattern anyone has demonstrated. Argentina's response was fast, and it went in two directions at once: investigate and contest. The National Food Safety and Agriculture Quality Service for Argentina, along with the Foreign Ministry of Agriculture, activated a traceability protocol to reconstruct the path of the batch with the ability to identify the establishment where the animals were raised. They also made a formal presentation to China, including information about the National Residue Monitoring Program and cross-referenced information with Chinese authorities. Argentina's attach in Beijing requested more technical detail to trace the origin precisely. Meanwhile, the government's push to keep the scope narrow. China suspended new shipments from that plant, and Argentina worked to prevent the restriction expanding to other shipments in transit. Now, here's the part that complicates the story. Officials are considering whether the result was a false positive or whether a similar compound triggered the test. REB pointed out the detection came from a single box, which they argued raised questions about the consistency of the finding and requested more detail about the container and the samples analyzed. The company has called the episode unusual and said it can't rule out inheritance, though no wrongdoing has also been established. I want to be careful with that last part. A company saying that this might have been tampered with is a company defending itself, and you should weigh in accordingly. But the technical possibilities, false positives, cross contamination, a chemical similar compound, are genuine, and they're what the investigating agency itself is examining.
All righty, we're back. And that was from real guys and real talk. And, you know, I haven't heard anything at all on any of the so-called legacy media about this. I haven't heard. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not out there because I don't listen to them all day, but I haven't heard anything about that, and that's why we wanted to make sure you knew about that. You know, when you go and you find out when you're buying your steaks in the store, if you know where they're coming from. But anyhow, phone lines are open at 216-901-0933. 216-901-0933. 100 dead and hundreds of people are missing. I don't know if you folks watched that flash flood. That was, it was just horrible, man. A wall of water there in Nepal. And Nepal is right there at the Chinese and Tibet border, in that area between China and Tibet. If you, I don't know if you saw that. That was absolutely amazing. They had cameras set up high, and the people, hundreds and hundreds of people, were running, and this huge wall of water just comes in and just washed them all out to sea. Unbelievable. And there was, from what I understand, there's several hundred dead, and hundreds are missing from that. Also, today, there were just 100 Democrats were just arrested for by federal officers. And by the way, folks, this had to do with, and the reason you're not hearing anything about this, because guess who was involved in all of this? ICE. And then lamestream media don't want you to know about this. But these officers arrested these people. 80% of them, 80%, at least 80 of the 100, were illegal aliens. And they had over 100 kilograms of fentanyl. And that was enough. That's enough to kill, well, that's enough to kill 50 million people. And the media is trying to keep the story down. They're trying to low-play this because 80 of those folks were illegal alien Democrats. All right, massive wildfires are west of Dallas, Texas. The last I heard, there were over 80,000 acres burnt, and they've only got like 12% containment. 216-901-0933 if you have a question or contact. Also, CIA Director Radcliffe went to Russia. Now, this has got a big... in fact, I got an article here somewhere on that. And this has got people in Iran, those that are running ISR, IRSG, or whatever, they've got them pretty upset. They're really angry because Radcliffe went to Russia, met with Putin, and they're looking, figuring they're going to possibly be sold out. Now, no one really knows why he went, why Radcliffe went to meet with Putin, but the Iranians definitely think they're being sold out. Okay, by Russia. So what do we have, folks? The socialism. They have this young woman named Nikhila Jasmine Thomas from Oklahoma. She won in the Democratic runoff for senator in Oklahoma. And this is a woman that hates capitalism. She says that all debts should be erased, all debts that nobody should be in debt for anything. Boy, that would be nice. She wants three-day weekends, only four work days a week, and she wants free, no more free enterprise, and no more private landowners. So, and that's who won. We're going to take a look at what socialism is, but who do we have there, Style? Let's go out to Texas with Michael. Hey, Michael, you're in the air.
How you doing, Pastor Ernie?
I'm doing okay. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. We still have hot time in Texas, but it's cooler than it was yesterday and the day before. And I just want to ask you, was you an old Dolly Parton fan?
Yeah, I liked Dolly Parton. I did. I liked her. She came up with a... I remember her when... We were the same age, so I remember her when she was very, very young, singing when she first came
out. She was on the Porter Wagner show.
Yeah. I remember her story. I remember her story. Usually they go by different names. Then they don't use them. But she came. She had 10 children, if I remember right. There was 10 children in the family. And they lived in a little cabin without running water, without electricity. And
yes, sir.
Back in those days, I had a lot of relatives that lived both in Kentucky and Tennessee that lived without, well, they had no running water, they had no indoor plumbing. They still had outhouses back in those days, and I'm talking back in the 50s.
Yes, sir. I'm worried about them outhouses.
Yeah, and that
was something. I was just wondering, she was, to me, she was much country as Loretta Lynn or Sammy Wynette or Reba McEntire and all, but man, when you listen to her sing gospel, she had a country voice in country, but when she sang gospel, she sounded like an angel.
Yeah, she had a beautiful voice for sure.
She did. I just want to pass that on. She passed away yesterday at 80 years old.
Yeah, I know. It's all they've been having on the news all day long.
Well, I don't watch TV. I listen to about four channels on the radio, and you're one of them. But I just thought I'd call you and ask you if you're a Dolly Parton fan.
Most of those people in that entertainment world, their marriages don't last. But if I remember right, she was married something like 57 years, 58 years, and she got married.
She married, I can't remember the man's name, but he was like, well, I'm not saying half her age, but he was pretty younger. And, she was in love with him, and he treated her right. And so that's what counts.
Yeah, he died about a year or so ago from what I remember.
Yes, he's right. He's sure enough. But God bless you, Pastor, and thank you for your show, and y'all take care.
Well, thanks for calling. God bless yourself. Alrighty, here. Trump is preparing for the largest visa revocations in U.S. history. Over 200,000 B-1 and B-2. These are business and tourism visas. And the reason for this is, well, guess what? Over 400 of those people that they've found have very, very serious criminal records, including murder and rape and child abuse. But these people, they were running a scam. They would go over, they would apply for a temporary visa, and as soon as they got here, they would turn and apply for permanent ship there, which was, they were not supposed to do, okay? Permanent residency. They were not supposed to do that. That was not lawful, but they did it. And many of them were involved in criminal activity. So he's about to do that. Hasn't done it yet, but from what I hear, he's going to do it. And so here we have HHS. We talked about this, folks, and we talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. And they were using all of these NGOs, too, during the Biden regime. What a horrible, wicked, evil man this guy was. What a horrible fellow he was. Health and Human Services released 85,000 children under Biden's orders. 85,000 to human traffickers under the Biden regime. They were also being used by labor and sex traffickers. And so they found a lot of these children being used for sex. And then they found others being used working in factories or working on farms. Working long hours, these little children, okay? And so, and that was under Biden. Just totally wicked. Just totally wicked. Anyhow, we just were talking here about what is socialism? Well, socialism, one, if the Democrats take over, if they do take over, and if all of you Republicans and independents out there that don't vote in the midterms, you are voting. By not voting, you're voting for a Democrat. You're voting for socialism and communism. And you deserve the very worst. If you don't get out there, and voting is a privilege and it's a duty to get out. But anyhow, If you have socialism, you have open borders. Well, under socialism, well, your taxes go up, but your choices, especially on things like health care and employment, they go way, way down. Crimes, under socialism, crimes go way up. And what they do is, in order to make it look appear that the crimes are high, they legalize certain crimes so it doesn't look like the crime rate is so high. And so crimes go up and your safety and your security goes way down under socialism. The cost of gas is going to go up. You think it's high now? You ain't seen nothing. Cost of electricity goes up. The cost of appliances, and under socialism, you don't get nearly the choices that you have here. And selection and everything, the selection goes way down. Inflation goes up under socialism. Inflation goes way up. But employment usually goes down. They always have a very, very high unemployment. So that's kind of what you get under socialism. What's going on over there in Texas, where he just called from? 80 acres have burnt. There's a big wildflower in West Texas, west of Dallas there in Texas. I haven't heard anything, but the last I heard, again, like I said, it was only like 12% containment. So those are some of the things that's in the news tonight that you might not get out there with what they call the legacy media. Three Secret Service officials, including communications chief, escorted out and stripped of security clearance amid reported criminal leak probe, FBI and CIA reported. Three Secret Service officials were reportedly escorted out of their offices on Monday and designated to do not admit as part of a criminal investigation into the leaking of classified information to the media. Real Clear Politics reporter Susan Crabtree broke the news Tuesday, citing two sources familiar with the matter. Here, it's unclear if the leaks to the media pertain to the controversy over President Trump's secret evacuation from Turkey because of the intelligence about a surface-to-air missile threat to Air Force One from Iran. The FBI and the CIA are involved in an investigation, one source told RCP. Calls to Secret Service Communications Director Anthony Guglielmi were not immediately returned. An email to the Secret Service press office was also not immediately returned. That was very, very interesting, the way they snuck him out. They put him on a truck and took him to another plane. Now here, the Secret Service subsequently confirmed that the three employees had been placed on administrative leave pending an investigation into the potential misconduct. Three non-law enforcement personnel at the U.S. Secret Service have been placed on administrative leave pending an investigation into potential misconduct, the agency spokesman told CNN in a statement. Per policy, this incident is being investigated by the Office of Professional Responsibility. We are unable to comment any further at this time. All right, there you go. Trump has had, it's by God's grace that guy's still alive. He's had more fumbling, and I don't believe it's just a fumbling. I believe that the Secret Service was in on at least some of those on some of his assassination plots. Here is something that's very interesting. As we battle radical Islam, we're pushing back. We're not going to let them do what they did to Britain and Italy and France and the others. But here, the Girl Scouts of America now offer Muslim badges, which girls can earn by learning about the pillars of Islam. Folks, they've always gone first. The Girl Scouts went down way before the Boy Scouts did. It's the same thing with here, the YMCA. They used to actually, Young Men's Christian Association. Now, I had a fella tell me that where he lives, there's the YMCA is still a Christian organization. Now, when I was young, you would go into the YMCA overseas, one of the YMCAs, and there would be Christian activity. You would have chaplains, you would have Bibles in there, tracts, and there would be a lot of Christian activity. And I've seen it go way far away from that, the YMCA. But then I've seen also, but quicker than that, the YW, young women, they went down, they went bad much, much quicker. And so here, why would the Girl Scouts, because the Girl Scouts, have women that are running them that are, for the most part, pro-abortion. I would never allow one of my grandchildren, a granddaughter or her daughter, to join the Girl Scouts anymore. There are Christian organizations. In fact, we've had some of the ladies that formed Christian organizations that counter the Girl Scouts. But here, in recent years, the Boy Scouts of America basically went woke and started allowing girls to join. Now the Girl Scouts of America are offering Muslim badges, which girls earn by learning about the pillars of Islam. And these women, usually these dead mothers, are feminist. They're liberal, they're pro-abortion, they're anti-God. It seems like I had a lady who was one of the den mothers from one of the local chapters of the Girl Scouts. When I had mentioned on the air, I would not purchase those. She was listening, and she was very upset with me, and she called me to tell me, we're not that way. We're not feminists. We hold to Christian values in our chapter, and I'm offended that you would say that. And I said, okay, so let me ask you this. Is that the policy for your National Girl Scouts? No, unfortunately, it's not. Our National Girl Scouts do not take the stand. They're not like us. They're like you said. And I said, okay, well then, do you pay dues to them? Crickets. Yes, we do. Well, if they're that bad, like you say, you think you should be paying dues to them? Well, I know, but we're affiliated. And I said, well, there's Christian organizations. If I were you, I would come out from amongst them, be you separate from them, folks, is what I would do. It seems that every revealed institution in America, a revered, is eventually infiltrated and hollowed out by the left. Girl Scouts of America offers Muslim badges to be earned by the pillars of Islam. We'll be back right after this. We'll be back after this.
Rise from your slumber. and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh! From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather all those who gather. They will possess their land. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold. And for your iron I'll give you silver, and for your brass I'll give you gold. Awake, America,
awake, America.
Rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free.
Hosanna.
From out of Zion,
hallelujah,
comes your Redeemer,
hallelujah,
in the year of
Jubilee.
In the year of Jubilee.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, way.
All right, we're back. And the phone lines are open. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 216-901-0933. Girl Scout troops across the U.S. are incorporating Islamic religion instructions, prayer, and activities into scouting programs, according to a new investigation by the White House correspondent Natalie Winters. The Girl Scouts of America has a faith program that allows religious groups to offer badges, crosses, and swaths of religious faiths. However, there are many Muslim-only troops across the U.S. that are affiliated with mosques and engage in Islam-specific customs such as halal foods, fasting during Ramadan, and wearing hijabs. Some troops require girls to wear, I guess it's pronounced hijabs. How do you pronounce that? I know that the people pronounce it differently. Hijabs or whatever, hijabs. But anyhow, they're those, they're the head coverings, obviously. And modesty garb, despite the instruction that they must be prepared for outdoor physical activities. Winters reports that the mosque-based troops in several states have used Girl Scouts programming to teach Islamic practices, including prayer, Ramadan. The examples involve individual troops and local councils rather than a nationwide requirement imposed on all Girl Scouts. Badges are made available through the National Islamic Center. The Girl Scouts of the USA, and folks, you better pay attention to this out there, does officially recognize religious award programs operated outside. You know, those women that are running them, they're feminists, they're communists. They're communists. So you have the red-green affiliation here, which is going that way. I would never put one of my granddaughters or anyone into a Girl Scouts. Okay. And here, the Girl Scouts USA does officially recognize religious award programs operated by outside religious organizations. Its own faith materials identify that the Islamic Committee on Girl Scouting and say it offers Girl Scouts the Islamic Faith Religious Recognition Awards, including medals, also directs families towards religious organizations for information about the program. So, there you go. You've been warned, parents. You've been warned out there. Iran's currency, wow, Iran's currency is, they're having some major situations in Iran's, folks. I'm telling you, we need to pray for those people. Things are very, very hard. They're running out of electricity. They're running out of water out there. And people are rioting, but you're not hearing about it because it's kept. You won't hear about it on the mainstream media, but they're rioting, even though they do it in danger of being shot and shot down like dogs in the streets. Iran's currency plunged through another historic low this week on Monday as the Trump administration prepared new sanctions, offensive aimed at tightening the financial pressures on Tehran after nearly 6 months of war and disruption across the Persian Gulf. The rail, according to a report from Associated Press, fell roughly, I guess it's rile is what is pronounced, fell to roughly the 2.2 million against the U.S. dollar. How in the world, I mean, you know, why would they use currency with the millions? Well, anyhow, on Tehran's open market, breaking through the psychologically important 2 million mark for the first time. Here, you are a billionaire in Iran if you have just $495 today. Iran's heavily managed official exchange rate remains considerably stronger at around 1.5 million rials to the dollar. But the free market rate is the price faced by many ordinary Iranians seeking hard currency. The latest decline marked a sharp acceleration for only a week earlier when the dollar traded at around 1.865 million rials, the amount to be a depreciation of more than 7% in a matter of days. Pressure on the rial was already severe before the United States and Israel launched military operations against Iran on February 28th. Since then, war sanctions disrupted oil exports and restricted access to foreign currency and have driven the rial repeatedly down to new lows. The damage is increasingly visible. Iranian households' rice prices have risen by roughly 60% since the war began. The beef prices have climbed by more than 150%, according to figures cited in the report. The International Monetary Fund expects Iran's economy to, by contract, by more than 5%. A weaker rail further increases the domestic cost of imported foods, medicine, machinery, and industrial materials, feeding inflations and encouraging Iranians to seek dollars, gold, and other stores of value. In central Tehran on Monday, residents lined up to convert savings into foreign currency before the rail weakened further. Sadegh Mahamoudi, 73, joined around a dozen people waiting to purchase dollars with what remained of his savings. "There is no hope for a deal and peace," Mohammed said. His permission reflected the mood of a market increasingly skeptical that diplomacy will produce sanctions relief in the immediate future. The Trump administration, meanwhile, is preparing to intensify the pressure even further. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent has signaled a new round of sanctions that could include secondary measures against foreign companies, financial institutions, and countries continuing sufficient business with Iran. Folks, things are, very, very, very bad there. And we need to pray for those people. President Donald Trump this morning celebrated the currency collapse on social media, writing Iran is completely collapsing. He wrote on social media and of the expected announcements. Okay, Treasury Secretary Scott Benson has portrayed the new campaign as an attempt to close remaining escape routes available to Iran. In a Financial Times opinion piece, he said Trump had driven Iran's economy to the point where the rail has never been weaker and inflation has rarely ever been higher. And so the regime's final refuge now lies in the self-deception of fearful nations that still believe accommodating aggression can secure a durable peace. Benson wrote, Treasury officials have indicated that companies helping Iran export oil or gain access to foreign currency will face particularly scrutiny. Well, I'm just going to leave it off right there. But, folks, sometimes we don't realize how good we have it until we take a look and see what other people are going through. And, you know, Iran, you know, it's not the people in Iran. It's the leadership in Iran that's caused all of this problems. You know, it's been a terrorist nation. They truly believe that if they can provoke worldwide war and the Christians and the Jews come against them, that their Mahdi will come to save them. This is a part of what they believe. And federal judge slams Ghislaine Maxwell's petition, denies yet another attempt by Epstein's co-conspirators to overturn her conviction in a 20-year prison sentence. Ghislaine Maxwell is serving a 20-year prison sentence for her role in a scheme to sexually exploit and abuse multiple minor girls with Jeffrey Epstein over the course of a decade. Following a blockbuster one-month jury trial, Maxwell was found guilty on December 29th, 2021, of conspiracy to entice minors to travel to engage in illegal sex acts, conspiracy to transport minors to participate in illegal sex acts, transporting a minor to participate in illegal sex acts, sex trafficking, conspiracy, and sex trafficking of a minor. So that's the end of her, right? Wrong. Ever since her conviction, Maxwell has been devoted to a seemingly endless series of appeals trying to overturn both convictions and sentencing. First, she has filed a direct appeal to the Second Circuit, which was denied in November 2024. Here's the situation, folks. You know, she could probably get out in a day if she would be willing to come out and really name some big names. You know, she knows who they are. She could do that. But then, how long would she live? How long would she live? And she's not going to be given an opportunity to get a mic or talk to the media and without being monitored and watched by those still in government. And you know, if she was, say, to sit down with a reporter and do an interview, that would be monitored, and if she said anything she's not supposed to say, that interview would never leave the studio. And that's just the reality. So she's in a hard spot. If she had a situation where she could roll over, and that's the way it's going to be with a lot of these other people come with these upcoming convictions. I see that they're deep and deeper and deeper into Christopher Wray, and they've found more stuff on James Comey, and there's a story out there now that's saying that possibly that well, I'm going to save on that one for another day. It's that time again. And for the most important part of the program, this could be your last 5 minutes alive. It's been estimated that 3 people around the world die every second. 3 people die every second. This means that by the time you finish reading this tract, over 900 people will have died. For the next 5 minutes, I want you to imagine what it would be like if those were your last moments alive. After all, someone in your city will likely die in the next few minutes. It could be you. Why not? When you die, someone will place a sheet or a blanket over your head. An ambulance may take you to the hospital for an autopsy. The undertaker will be called and arrangements will be made to place you by a grave. People will come to the funeral and shed tears over your lifeless body. They will look at your cold, blank face and mourn, but you will be gone. They will slowly drive to a cemetery where your body is in a casket. And at the cemetery, they will carry your casket to the hole in the ground and lower it down. People will cry. The men will cover your casket with dirt and a tombstone. Your name and the date of your birth and today's date will be on the stone. The people will leave, recover, and perhaps someday forget that your body's even there. Your 5 minutes are almost gone, so I must get to the point. When your time is up and you have died, where are you going? We've already decided your body is going where your body is going, but what about your soul? Will it be in heaven or hell? Oh, yes, you will be in one place or the other. So in these remaining minutes, I will tell you what to do to get to the place of your choice. If your choice is hell, do nothing. You have already done enough. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and the wicked shall be turned into hell. Psalm 9:17. If, however, you choose to go to heaven, you must do several things first. You must believe you are a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Secondly, you must believe you deserve to go to hell. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, Romans 5:12. The third thing is you must do is to repent of your sins. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their way and live. You must also believe that Jesus died to pay for your sins. But God commendeth his love toward you, toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Finally, you need to trust Jesus to be your Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your time is short in this world. The decision is your own personal responsibility. And as it is appointed to all men once to die, after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:27, I will tell you what you must do to go to heaven. You must acknowledge your sins, repent, and admit that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness. You must confess to God that you know Jesus died for you on the cross and was buried, resurrected, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. Ask him to help you turn from your unbelief and come into your heart and save you for Jesus' sake. That if you shall confess with thy mouth in the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. And I know there's a lot of people out there listening to me tonight, out there that, well, some of you some of you may have said, well, you know, I did that. I said, I went forward and I said a sinner's prayer. But let me ask you this. Were you born again? If you were born again, then there would be a change in your life. Should be a big change in your life. If you were saved, if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to serve God. I mean, you're not going to be happy if you're not serving God. Now, let me ask you, is that you out there? Is that you? You say, well, what should I be doing? Well, the first thing you need to be doing is the Great Commission. He tells you, first and foremost, mission one, preach the gospel in season and out. Witness to those, teach the Bible. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But then he tells you, too, if you're a Christian, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. That means you're Christian in name only. The Bible tells you very clearly, feed the hungry, house the homeless, clothe the naked, visit those that are sick and in prison. And so this is why for so many years we kept the prison ministry. But first, I think, after the Great Commission is rescuing those that are being led to slaughter and drawn to death. Are you active in the pro-life movement? America's national sin is the killing of his children. Are you preaching out hard? Are you speaking out hard? Are you condemning that horrible, horrible sin? Are you helping those young women who are pregnant to put their babies up for adoption or to keep their babies and not kill them? Those are the questions. So if you're truly saved, you'll do these things. It's not enough to say, well, you know, I do go to church on Sundays. Well, folks, that doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't get you saved. See, there's nothing ever has been, never will be, that means as much to you as you're standing with the Lord Jesus. Because when you die, you're either saved or you're lost. You're either going to heaven or hell. Like it or not, that's reality. This is the way God has given it to us very clearly. He doesn't stutter. Now, when you hear this, when you hear the preacher giving you this, the preacher is only the messenger. God's speaking to you. Tonight, if you're listening to me and you have not received Christ, God has just spoke to you again. It's not his will that you perish. We're out of time for tonight. So as we come to this time every night, we say thanks for being here. We want to say thanks for your support. Good night. God bless. And then we say always, always, and we did it before Trump did. We say always, always, keep fighting the fight. Fight, 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 fight.
Thanks for listening to the voice of the Christian resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When life gets busy, it's important to reach for the things that help keep you grounded. Enhance your focus with the new G2 Edge Gel Pens from Pilot. Designed to help you regulate restless energy, it features a unique laser textured barrel and tactile sensory zones that help channel fidgety energy directly into productive flow. Keep your mind calm and your daily routines organized. Find G2 Edge at Walmart today. G2 Edge, sensory by design.